Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, Halloween's over.
Yeah, that sucks. Unfortunately, it is. But now we're getting to see all the Christmas trees up and every freaking store you go into and everything else.
But, you know, before we get to our guests, I have to say that some haunts are still open this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I'll be at Carnage Friday and Saturday night doing a lights out event. So Friday, Saturday night, Carnage will be open still. So there is some still going.
Yeah, the only problem is by the time everybody hears this, it'll be past this weekend. So
yeah. So sorry you guys missed out.
And joining us for the third time, almost made the 50 show mark, Maximus Bryant, haunter extraordinaire. He works at the Dent Schoolhouse. He's got his own haunt display. He's all over the haunt industry. Max, how is it going, my friend?
I'm great, Jim. Thank you and Donnie for having me on. I'm excited to talk to you guys again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This season, I think, has made up for last year's COVID stuff. A lot of haunts were getting record numbers, and I'm happy to see a lot of people back out there. I mean, how were things at Dent this year, Max?
I think things at Dent went pretty well. You know, like last year was just really weird with, we tried to follow a lot of the health guidelines and we would sell out, like we reduced the capacity by like 50%. So at a certain point, we just had to stop selling tickets and sell out. This year, we didn't have to do that. So it was a little bit, you know, it was just different in that sense. And it felt like a bounce back from the I just feel like last year was just weird in general. So this year felt a lot more normal, a lot more fun, you know, not having to be too concerned about a lot of stuff. I mean, there were still things we were careful about when it came to like makeup and costuming and cleanliness and hygiene and all that kind of stuff. But in general, a lot of that COVID pressure and concern, you know, the week to week watching of the county color code that was going on in Ohio about like, okay, is Hamilton County going to get into purple or not, was not there. So I feel like we were able to have a lot more fun. Even when we were competing with movie theaters again and the Halloween Kills movie and Friday Night Football, it still felt like a lot of fun and fun we had.
Yeah, speaking of Dent Schoolhouse, the Ohio Valley Haunts top 13 haunts came out here recently, and you guys came in at number 5. So kudos to you guys on that.
Thank you. I think that was pretty. We had just seen them, and so we were happy to, you know, that we got a great review. And I feel like in general, the reviews that have been coming in have been really positive and really great. And you know, it's just. We're just, you know, and especially with a lot of the reviewers that are coming back out. I remember there was a few last year who just said, you know what, we're not going to do it this year. And then we saw them again and, you know, they liked what they saw because they not only saw the changes that we had this year, but they got to see the changes that they didn't see last year. So,
right.
And at Dent, we try to change things a lot every single year. So, you know, if you take a 2-year break for whatever reason, there's a lot of new things for you to see. And that's what we'd like. So a lot of positive stuff and it seemed like they enjoyed the show for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing I've known for years now is, and this goes back to my tenure at Dent, which is, you know, been quite a while ago. They've always been ranked highly somewhere. I mean, you know, they've been on the Travel Channel. They've been you guys were on Good Morning America this year, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. We made a quick showing on Good Morning America. They were talking about some of the most haunted places in America and haunted attractions. And the Dent Schoolhouse made the list for that. So that was a pretty big high point for us to see us on Good Morning America, because I remember that when that came out, I was getting texted by a lot of people saying, "Hey, did I just see your haunted house on TV?" I'm like, Yeah, probably. and it was the same way when ESPN came through and aired some of the Dent Schoolhouse stuff for the University of Cincinnati game. And, you know, University of Cincinnati football has been doing amazing this year. So it's great for them to get TV time. And luckily during Halloween season, the Dent Schoolhouse got some airtime on ESPN as well. So a lot of great media is out there for the Dent Schoolhouse this year, and a lot of reasons for myself, one of the actors, and I'm sure the owners to be thankful.
Well, definitely some of the reasons that Dent has been so highly ranked for numerous years now, not only the talent, but the sets, the displays. I mean, the detail in Dent is amazing. It always has been. And kudos, I mean, to Josh Wells and team. Josh is an amazing set designer, you know, and Bud, you know, he's the promotions guy and he works on makeup and acting. So everybody there, I mean, there's a reason why you guys keep getting highly ranked. It's because the talent is there.
Yeah. I remember the first time I was on Tuesday Night Crew and we were working on a few new scenes, and Josh had just finished the carpentry on some of the walls, and I remember him telling me to paint the wall, and then I went back and painted it again, and then by the end of it, there's about 8 layers on that thing, and I'm not kidding, because this year, we've actually been offering behind-the-scenes tours. People have been buying behind-the-scenes tours, which is something different from the ghost tours. Ghost tours would be a Wednesday thing. Behind-the-scenes tours would be a Saturday and Sunday thing where people would come, and I would give them a tour of the haunted house and show them all the behind-the-scenes stuff that normal guests wouldn't get to see. You know, some of them are curious about the actor hallways. Some of them are curious about how some of the props work. Many people were curious about what's upstairs. That was interesting to me, that many people are like, what's upstairs? I'm like, well, actually, in my opinion, the upstairs is the most boring part, but everybody wants to know what's up there. And so, but you know, during the behind the scenes tours, I would go to one wall and I'd say, look, this wall right here, it has this, it has this, it has this. And then we did this, and then we ripped that down, and then we redid this, this, and this. And a lot of people are like, wow, you know, that's what it takes to make these walls and everything look the way it does. And Josh is so particular about detail that, you know, to be on Tuesday Night Crew, you got to be willing to, you know, go and just do steps as he instructs it to you, because I don't always know what it's going to look like at the end, and nor do I quite understand what he's trying to do, but I'm just doing things one step at a time because there's about 30 steps that he's going to go through. And then at the end of it, it looks amazing. This year we redid the fall festival, which involved a lot of wood, and wood was very expensive this year, but you know, the fall festival, I think, turned out looking amazing with all the booths and everything and the painting that we had to do and the moving of props. And and I know that Chris, who I think had to deal with all the LED lights that were installed, he had one heck of a time putting all that in. So a lot of work goes into it. And you're right, the sets are something that the Dent Schoolhouse is known for nationally. And but this, I think I've said before, this creates a challenge for us actors that we are trying desperately to try to match that quality. The sets are amazing. They're beautiful. It, you know, people just walk through Dent and they're looking everywhere and it just looks so neat. So we as actors have to step up our game to match that quality. And that's hard. It's just really hard. And I do believe I've said that before, but it continues to be a challenge. And in the reviews, you know, I kind of always in my mind make it a little competition. Josh's sets versus me and the actors. All right. And you know, who ends up with a higher score? Admittingly, so Josh has been beating us. I'll be team actor, even though I help with the Tuesday Night Crew. I'm team actor, I do believe. And Josh is still beating us, but we're trying and growing.
Well, you know, I mean, from my time there, Josh has always been beating the actors, no matter how hard we try. You know, the 4 years I was there, it was like, you know, he would, Josh, the set design would get ranked a little bit higher than the actors every single year.
Yeah.
No matter what we did. I mean, we could scare the pants off of somebody and make them run out screaming and pooping themselves, and then we'd still not score what Josh would score.
No, you're absolutely correct. And it's frustrating. it just is. You know, I mean, you know, Josh, I will say it a million times, he does an amazing job, but you know, I just, it's going to be a personal goal of mine to, and it can't just be one review, you know, like one of these review groups that come through, it can't just be one. I want on the season for the actors to just, you know, be so impactful that we beat the set score, because pretty much every review team in one way or another categorizes sets or scenes or something like that, something to that effect. And then they will have actors or cast or something like that. The actors cast score I'm aiming. So Josh, I'll help you on Tuesday Night Screw. I will continue to help you, but I am coming for you. And I just want to create an actor culture at Dent that promotes people doing their best and doing something that is impactful, to where you do end up, you know, getting that high score. And there's many different theories of how to do that. But I mean, you kind of notice when people go through and the different reviews you read, you know, certain actors are getting those shout outs time and time again and being impactful. And, you know, there's many different ways to do it, but you know, I guess, you know, that's the continuing training that has to happen. Like, how do you become scary and impactful, or something that people will remember when they leave, and you know, you be something that you're talked about, you know, when they go talk to their friends or whatever it is.
Yeah, I want to steer you off the path just a little bit, and then we can get back on. But I keep hearing you mention Tuesday Crew and stuff like that, so it got my management and my business owner wheels like turning. So do you guys have like a set crew for each day of the week to go in and like build sets and decorate and design and all this different stuff? Is that how that works?
Yes and no. Tuesday Night Crew are a group of guys that have, for the most part, been around since probably before the owners. I think a lot of them were involved with the Boy Scouts. And when Bud and Josh and Chuck came around, they kind of stuck around. Now, it's not just exclusively them. There's several of us. I don't want to sound insensitive saying this, but some of us younger guys that are also on the Tuesday Night Crew that were there carrying the stuff, you know, moving stuff out of old scenes, carrying stuff into new scenes. But Tuesday is kind of like the designated day where we go and knock out a bunch of stuff in like 3 hours. You know, 3 hours is not, you know, a lot, but week after week after week, a lot gets done on those Tuesday nights. And
yeah, it adds up.
Yeah, it adds up. It's, you know, like Josh is there every single day, you know, doing stuff. And then Tuesday nights are typically his later nights. And so, you know, that's the night where I think he creates a list. He knows what all has to get done. And then as soon as I arrive or one of the others, he says, so, all right, you guys are going to work on this. You guys are going to work on this. You do this. Sometimes it's working on the set. Sometimes it's something as simple as trimming trees, because we have this property next to us and the trees kind of grow over the fence. And we just got to go trim all that down. You know, sometimes it's any of that kind of work. When we get closer to the season, Tuesday Night Crew turns into Tuesday and Thursday Night Crew, because we got a lot more to get done. So that's typically how that kind of works.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Like I said, it just kept hitting me, like, you know, that's why I figured, like, you guys had a set day where you guys went in and knocked a bunch of stuff out. But yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, the Tuesday Crew guys are pretty neat. And the thing was, I worked at Dent for about 3 years before I got on the Tuesday Night Crew. And I was bothering Josh after year one to try to get on. He's like, no. And then no. And then no. It took forever to get on Tuesday Night Crew. And I think it's because those are the guys who are really making this sort of thing happen. and, you know, Josh has to come to know you in order to get you on the crew. I don't think anybody's there that hasn't been there for at least 5 years at this point. And, you know, there's a reason for that. And, but they're, you know, they do amazing work. They do great guys. There's engineers, there's electricians, there's refrigeration and HVAC guys. And they just know how to do so much, and they're great. They're great people. So big shout out to them. But it is interesting how I did not know who any of them were my first 3 years. I knew they existed. I just didn't know who they were. So since then, I'd been trying to join up with them ever since. And it took a while, but I'm glad to be a part of it. Those are hot and sweaty Tuesdays in the summer. But, you know, this is kind of what draws me more into Dent, and why I love doing the behind the scenes tours now too, because a lot of it I have touched. I wouldn't say I do the whole scenes or anything like that. Absolutely not. Josh is the one that makes all that happen. But, you know, a little bit of me is somewhere. You know, I've painted this, I moved this, or, you know, something like that. And I love showing the place off. And so when we had our Haunters night, that was like one of the first times I've actually gotten to say to the haunt industry, hey, come, let me show off this amazing place to you. And that was such a fun night. We had a lot of haunters that showed up, and it was amazing. And I was so filled with pride to say, hey, come and check out the house. And then even afterwards, asking each group of haunters, like, hey, who's your actor shout outs? And a lot of them would tell me, like, this scene or this scene. And I would just kind of on my cell phone take notes about, okay, who was getting noticed, and, you know, what were they doing, or what did people love from the actors? So that was a fantastic time. And I love Dent. I love showing it off. I love everything about it, pretty much.
Well, one thing I wanted to mention, I don't know if it's changed or not, Max, but, you know, the Tuesday night crew I've known about since I worked there. And like you said, a lot of them were there when the Boy Scouts were there. But when I was there, these guys did all this voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
This is something they don't get paid for. They come and do it purely for the love of doing it.
Yeah, that's probably the most amazing thing about them. I mean, they just keep coming back. I don't know how that kind of keeps working, but they do. And I love just kind of afterwards, you know, we're hanging out sometimes, maybe having a beer, and they're telling stories about way back when or whatnot and things that they do. But, you know, they keep coming back, and then they're even there on the nights of operation doing security.
Yep.
You know, they're just always there and doing it. So they're really great guys. And we're, you know, overly thankful to have them, and they have taught me a lot as well. You know, I've had to learn about different chemicals and tools, and I'm not really handy myself, but those guys, I can ask them anything. And they, you know, like Mike, I'll shout out Mike. He'll be like, oh yeah, this is how you do this and everything else. And he's so willing to teach. And you know, like I said, those guys have been there since the Boy Scout days. So, you know, they're going on near 20 plus years. This is the building that we're in has been a haunted attraction for 25 years now. And some of them probably have been there since the beginning. And yet here I am. I've been there now 7 seasons, and they're willing to show me whatever as I'm willing to learn. And so they kind of all have a heart of a teacher, which makes them amazing.
Yes.
Cool. Shout out to the Tuesday night crew. It's like, I have no idea who they are, but I'm a fan.
So they're there. You just got to know.
let me ask you this, Max. How was Pumpkin Smasher's season?
Pumpkin Smasher had a very interesting season. From the beginning, where he got to appear in a parade, he's had a lot of fun since then. Harvest Home Parade, he got to run around for the first time that I'm aware of. And he had a great time doing it. This year had a very unique, I wouldn't say it's a problem, but it was a unique situation. His first year, he was stealing people's cell phones, taking videos on Snapchat. I think I've mentioned that before, where he takes Snapchats and he's sending videos to everybody's Snapchat. So, you know, Pumpkin Smasher here. Here's Rebecca. We'll see if Rebecca makes it through. And then you send it to all of Rebecca's friends. Well, so people have come up to me years after and said, hey, do you remember taking this video and all that kind of stuff? And, you know, I used to be able to play it off and say, yeah, sure, I remember you and everything. Well, this is growing more and more every single year. And now this year, a lot of people have come up and said, do you remember me from last year? And I'm tired of lying to people. I've pretty much gone to the excuse of, look, everybody was wearing masks last year. How am I going to remember any of you? and that's pretty much the excuse that I've had to give. Pumpkin Smasher has made it onto a lot of social medias because he's also started doing TikToks. Like people will ask to do certain TikTok videos. And, so he does these weird trendy TikTok things. So he's ended up on TikTok. He's also ended up on YouTube several times. So people are coming up saying, hey, I saw you on this, or, hey, I saw you on that. So Pumpkin Smasher, his head is growing. but that's part of who he is anyway. He thinks he's the greatest thing in the world as it is. So having, in real time validation from the guests as soon as they walk on the property is making him gloat. And he is becoming like one of those guys you don't like being around because he's just so full of himself at this point. but the season has been fun for him. He's swinging the hammer at people, making people jump. The queue line, you know, Jim, you remember Harrison Avenue. Well, it's been expanded. Okay. So we actually lost where the fast pass line used to be.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we've lost some of the front of the property, which has caused the queue line to get expanded from, you know, how it used to kind of go out to where the school bus was.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much as far as it went. Well, now it's stretched out to the end of the schoolhouse.
Okay.
So there's a lot more queue line in front of the building. So the queue line actors have had the challenge of trying to navigate that, because we try to avoid the ticket line. We avoid that, you know, we want to get their money before we scare them away. We try to avoid concessions for the exact same reason. We try to avoid the merch booth for the exact same reason. So that doesn't leave us a lot of room. A lot of the characters like Charlie and Zobo and Geister and them have had to do a lot more going into the lines than I think we were used to. Zobo loves going into the lines. He's fine with it. I personally don't like it, because I'm carrying a big hammer and I turn and all this way. And sometimes you can whack somebody in the face. In addition, I'm getting like poked constantly. Like people are trying to either get my attention, or they're curious about what the hammer's made out of, so they're poking the hammer, or they want to know if the head's real, so they're touching the head. So admittingly, so that's kind of been getting on my nerves this year. In general, I feel like people have talked about that the guests seem to be a bit more touchy this year. I mean, I think they go just by COVID definitions, you know, like last year it was all about social distancing and all that kind of stuff. Well, this year it wasn't. So we're not used to the touchy guests anymore, but we've had some touchy guests. And so Pumpkin Smasher, I feel, has had to give a few in character warnings about, you know, hey, you're not worthy to touch me, and you know, that kind of thing. So it's been an interesting year as far as that goes, but a lot of fun. But a lot of ego growing for the Pumpkin Smasher, and just a different dynamic from the COVID year previous.
So have you had the opportunity to check any other haunts out during the season, or have you been strictly working all season?
No, I got to visit before the season started. I went and visited Hell's Dungeon in Dayton. They're doing their second year. Fred has been, you know, he's been communicating with me a lot and letting me know about things that they're doing. I actually got the opportunity to do a few actor exercises with them this year, and they seem to be pretty well receptive to that, and that was a lot of fun. I had a great time there. This was their first night that I went. And when I walked through, their actors were just so hyped up and everything that they did, you know, fantastic. I warned them if they were going to be able to keep that up all season long, but they were pretty hyped. We got to check out Haunted Hotel, Devil's Attic, and Malice Manor down in Louisville. That was a lot of fun. It's always great to see the Louisville haunts, if I'm saying Louisville right.
That's how I say it.
All depends on where you're from,
right? And I mean, they were doing fantastic. They were already having big crowds and everything, and this was like the first or second weekend in September, and they were already putting numbers through, and that was amazing. So I was very happy to be able to see that and visit them. And because last year Dent opened like a week or two later than what they normally would, so that actually offered a lot more opportunity for me to visit haunts last year. I didn't visit as many this year, but I still got to visit several. I checked out Carnage when they were doing their special event over the summer, and I love their new building, and I love everything that they've been able to build up, and you see a few elements from the old location but also a ton of new stuff. And the fact that whatever I saw in the summer is not the same as what people got to see for this haunt season, and will not be the same as what you will get to see in 2022, because they're constantly expanding and they have so much space that they can do it in. So I'm excited to see what they do. I haven't gotten to see the asylum portion yet, but I'm sure it's amazing as the rest of it is. We did a little behind the scenes walk through at a Spookery, which is a 2-weekend haunt that they put on at the Boy Scout camp near Cincinnati in the Milford Loveland area. And they do amazing stuff for what they're doing there. So a few travel arounds, a few things. And I might also throw out that I saw that I went to MHC and I did that bus tour. And so I got to see Terror on the Fox and the Green Bay Scaregrounds and Abandoned Haunted House. Abandoned, I loved. That was kind of like the standout for me. There were so many unique things in that haunt, things that I just have not seen anywhere else. And I thought that show was amazing. And it was already hot at that point. It would have been. When was ABC? It was like June?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, June or July. So yeah, it was hot, but they put on an amazing show. So I'm always thankful for shows that I get to see. Makes me appreciate what all the other haunters do, expands my knowledge of the haunt industry, and also helps me appreciate Dent a lot more, because see what other people do, see what we do, and it's always just great to see these things. So but it also makes me jealous of the people that travel around a lot more than I do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So with everything you've seen this season, as far as working at Dent and as far as checking out these other haunts, how do you feel the industry? Do you feel the industry has recovered from COVID? And do you think it's just going to keep growing from this point?
I think so, because there was a lot of haunts that didn't open last year. I put out this video series about the haunts that were opening in Ohio, right? Last year, you had to go through every single page and figure out, okay, are they going to open for COVID or are they not? And then I remember the list of haunts in my head that were not opening. And then you sort of thought, well, okay, they didn't open last year. There's probably a lot of financial investment they put into what they had, but they weren't able to recoup it for closing for one reason or another. Well, I feel like the vast majority of those haunts opened this year. They came back. Carnage wasn't open last year, but here they are, and there were several others that came back, down in Wilmington, Twisted Trails. I haven't had the pleasure of seeing Twisted Trails, but yet they came back. And so this is the story that I've seen across Ohio, that people came back. And not only did they came back, you saw, I feel like it was like 3 or 4 haunts that were starting anew this year, around the different corners of Ohio, whether it was Liverpool, Ohio, or down in Portsmouth. And a lot of them were popping up. So I didn't feel like that happened last year. I mean, COVID would have been a weird year for people to start a brand new haunt. Hell's Dungeon in Dayton did do it. They did open in COVID, but they're the only ones I was aware of. And then, so this year, the list of haunts that came back slash new haunts, there was a plenty. So overall, yeah, I'd say they've recovered. And even with the competition with movie theaters and Friday night football and festivals and all this other kind of stuff that got pushed to October, haunts, you know, I've been hearing that numbers have been pretty good. And so I think that, you know, they're looking great. And, you know, you could even say if you went to Transworld, a lot of those vendors sold out of stuff. You know, a lot of them sold amazing. Like I did some interviews for like Haunt Topic Radio and the Haunted Attractions Network. And everybody that I was talked to, like, well, we're pretty much going home with nothing. So haunts are opening, reopening. They're buying stuff.
Did 2020 take its toll on your fitness? Well, body slam the pandemic and get back in shape with WrestleFit. This innovative program combines all the fitness regimens you'll need to reach your goals. The WrestleFit workout will bring strength training, cardio, and the world of professional wrestling together in a fun, new, and exciting way. Have yourself a blast working out with dumbbells, kettlebells, slam balls, ropes, tires, and an 18-foot full-size wrestling ring. The WrestleFit workout isn't just for pro wrestlers. The WrestleFit workout is for everybody. At the Now Training Center, you can pursue your fitness goals and learn how to train like a professional wrestler without all the bumps, bruises, and slams with the WrestleFit workout. Go to www.newohiowrestling.com/training for more information or stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Blacklick, Ohio, 43004, Unit 6137.
Unless I'm missing something and, you know, somebody can comment and tell me what I'm missing, but it seems to me things are looking okay and good.
Yeah, from what I've been hearing, I tend to agree.
And I do too. You know, it's just a lot of people, you know, missed out last year, whether they were haunt actors or owners or just the patrons. They wanted to get back out and see what's going on. And they have the opportunity to do that. And it has really driven up, you know, demand and everything for not only just people going to haunted attractions, but like you mentioned at Transworld, the vendors selling out as quickly as they did. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, they weren't able, some vendors weren't able to meet their quotas before season started because they were so backlogged.
Yeah.
So
there were several notable vendors that weren't even at Transworld because their orders took them all the way to the beginning of the haunt season.
Right.
Right. So, yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, supply chain issues have really bogged a lot of that down. And I work in a distribution company in my day job. And trust me, I know all about supply chain issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that by the middle of next year, these issues are taken care of so that the vendors can make sure their product gets out to their customers in a timely manner. And, you know, you'd have the haunt that didn't get that $10,000 animatronic because it was still on back order. And in next year, hopefully they'll have that to scare a new set of people.
I sure hope so. And, you know, I think we have a mutual friend who has been talking about that supply chain issue, and I feel for those haunts that didn't get a lot of their things in time. But you know, this is I don't know when that will be fixed. I don't know all the elements behind it. I do know that a lot of people, I think, kind of realized, oh, we didn't get our stuff on time. Oh, Christmas is coming. Got to order everything back in August to get it before Christmas. You know.
Well, I can say, fortunately, the projections that I have been reading in my day job say it's probably not going to be until mid-2022 before the supply chain heals itself.
Hmm.
You know, and one thing that animatronic makers use are pneumatic cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even get me started. Because I deal in pneumatic cylinders on a daily basis. And it is just, it is ugly right now. I've got stuff that I need next week that I'm not going to see until January.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's just a recipe for a lot of unhappy people.
Right. And I've got another vendor that is projecting delivery dates into June.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how do you deal with that? I'm sure you're getting yelled at by all kinds of people, and it's not even your fault, but
yeah.
What do you do?
What can you do? I mean, they know the supply chain's broken right now, but they still want their stuff. You know, it's like, So you hope for the best, you give them a date, and you hope that by that date you can get material. I mean, I deal with a vendor that builds conveyors for Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got material that is 6 months past due.
Wow.
And I push the vendors every day. Where is my material?
Mm-hmm.
And every day it's like, we don't know.
That's tough.
It's tough all around. And in the haunted attraction industry, you know, they need this material to make their product for haunt owners. So it's like, let's just hope that, I mean, one of the big issues is transportation. I mean, I'll give you an example. The Port of Los Angeles, okay, which is a huge port for importing. Last report I read, there were 100 ships offshore waiting to be unloaded. 100 cargo ships.
Wow.
And you think about how many containers are on a cargo ship. Okay?
That's a lot.
And there's 100 ships just sitting there waiting to be unloaded. And you don't have the manpower or the trucking power to get this stuff going. And that's part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. That's
so in other words, if you're a haunt owner, get your orders in now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get off my soapbox because I kind of deviated and I'm sorry about that.
Well, I didn't realize you were going through so much stress in that, Jim.
I think we peeled an onion here.
I know.
I deal with this every day. So it's like, you know, we started talking about that, and I said, oh, soapbox, let me get up here, but I'm done with that now. So,
still, those that listen to the episode, you know, take heed, and maybe, you know, since it's most or more or less after the haunt season at this point, even though a few of us are going to be opening for this weekend, you know, be like the mayor of a Halloween town. You got the plans for the next Halloween.
This is Meat Hook Jim's personal advice. Order your shit now.
Right.
And you might get it in time for next year. Yeah. Don't wait until June. Trust me on this.
Right.
Yeah. I had another question I wanted to throw at you. Cause, you know, say, as you mentioned, you do work with Haunt Topic Radio and Haunted Attractions Network, and you're also part of the Ohio Haunters Convention or Association and all that. So, you know, you got your finger pretty good on the pulse of the haunt industry in our area, in our region. You say the numbers have been good and the haunts are coming back. And I agree with that. I can see that as well. What I don't see is being good and coming back are the actors. I'm hearing a lot of haunts being short of actors. And that's just, you know, from the few that I've talked to and been in and all that. So what's your take on that you're seeing? Are you seeing the same thing?
I think in general, yeah, across the board, it seems like there is an actor shortage. You know, I don't know how to talk about it without maybe getting too political on it, because in reality, I'll just admit, I don't know exactly the reason why this is the case. But yeah, for COVID, I know that we planned to have a smaller number of actors, you know, just for the purposes of social distancing. We were trying to also keep it in a way to where actors weren't on top of each other or, you know, anything like that. And we also try to keep it to where actors were able to keep a safe distance from the guests while trying to still scare them. And I saw many haunts being able to do that. So then you go from that to this year, where I think a lot of haunts would have loved to have hired a lot more actors, but there wasn't that big of a turnout, with it. I will say that we had a lot of people that may have elected to not work last year that did come back this year. And that was great to see them again, because they're phenomenal actors and actresses. But at the same time, I would see some of my haunt owner friends that were posting like, hey, could use some extra hands tonight. So maybe that's an aspect of the haunt industry I'm not very familiar with, is recruiting. Because there's no way for me to know how a haunt in the middle of one particular county recruits to fill their spots. You know, like our friend Alan down at
Backwoods Oddities.
Backwoods Oddities. How does he find people versus the Dent Schoolhouse in Cincinnati? Well, Cincinnati has a higher population, but, you know, how does Alan do it? I don't know. I don't know how any of these haunts really necessarily get it, except for before the season starts, whenever I see haunts post, hey, we're hiring actors, I was trying to share it to the Ohio Haunters page. So even to the chagrin of my own haunt, which is like, you know, there's a nearby haunt and they were like, hey, we're hiring. So I'm sharing it. And I'm like, as much as I'd love for them to come our way, but, you know, people, I'm okay with people looking at every single haunt and seeing what may fit them best. But I feel like this year there was tons and tons of posts about hiring and they were even starting like back in May and June, like, hey, you know, anybody want to work this season? Come on and look. And actually now that I think about it, I made a video about what haunts are opening here in November, right? And the way I did that is I went to every haunt page in Ohio, and there was one thing I would look for that I knew meant they were not going to open in November. If they had a post that said, we want to thank everybody, dot, dot, dot. I don't know what the rest of the post said. If it said that, that meant that they were done for the season. So I didn't necessarily have to worry about them. But there was a couple of those haunts that already posted like, hey, we're looking for monsters for next season. And here's the email that you can email and such. So it seems to me that recruiting is on people's minds. And maybe that would actually be something, for someone that's way more knowledgeable than me, is to maybe consider educating the industry on recruiting, or somebody that knows how to do it best. And maybe it's not universal in different markets. I don't know, but I do know that it'll be on everybody's minds going forward, as far as how do we fill these spots, because those reviews that come through talk about, and even not just the I'll call them pro reviews, but I'm talking about the people that are leaving the reviews on the Facebook pages and the Googles. You know, they will say things like, there weren't a lot of actors, or there were just a bunch of animatronics, you know, whatever.
The empty scenes. I've heard that. Right. Yeah.
They want to see actors. You know, it's the actors that are getting the big scares, so they want to see it. And so, you know, it's to every haunt's advantage to try to fill up their spots.
Yeah, well, we need to reach out, Jim, and figure out who's the top recruiter for haunt actors in the area and get them on here, because I need to start staffing the Obetz haunt myself for next year. And we got to get Carnage and Dent filled up. We need to get all these haunts filled back up. Mm-hmm.
I know that there are some that I think told me that they had pretty good numbers on actors. I don't know if that number maintained, because I asked them at the beginning of the season. Usually I think haunts kind of figure out the number, or at least get their best numbers at the beginning, and then people kind of fizzle out as the season goes on. It happens. But, you know, haunt culture is also another that I think is an important factor, is once you have the people, how do you keep them? You know, like I always say it, I came to Dent to scare people. But I was dead tired by the end of the season. I'm tired now. Mm-hmm. But I stayed for the family. I feel like I have a haunt family there. And that's why I keep coming back. So, you know, there's recruiting and then retain and retention. So whoever the top recruiting and retention guy is, learn us something.
We need to guidance.
Whole, you know?
Yep.
Makes me think I should start another business for haunt recruiting.
There you go.
There you go. While you're actor training at the same time, and you'll recruit them, you'll train them, teach them how to keep them.
I sit there. I'll set up a recruiting business, and I'll recruit people, and you know, then the haunts can pay me a small stipend to get them people. You know, so I don't know.
There you go. There
you go. you planted the seed. Yeah, right. The idea is going. I kind of like
a temp service type of thing.
Yeah. Right. But you know, when it comes to, you know, whether it's the shipping issue or the recruitment issue, you know, or you know, I believe COVID was the time when we saw that haunters knew how to adjust and how to make the best out of each circumstance. So, you know, whether you had low actor numbers or, you know, stuff didn't come in on time, haunters know how to adjust and make it work. And I firmly believe that they know how to do that. I will say that I went to a haunt. I won't say this one's name, but I went and I saw one actor, I kid you not, six times.
Mm-hmm.
So these actors that are there, and maybe in a scene or a haunt that may be low on numbers, these actors are working hard, mm-hmm. really hard. And they're boom, 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 boom. Which brings me, you didn't ask me about this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. This is my seventh season, right? I got involved with a fitness coach in about January. And from January to May, I lost about 45 pounds from a workout routine and all that kind of stuff. I put a little bit back on account of Halloween candy and such. But once the haunt season's over, I'm going to get back into that regiment. It was counting calories. It was doing the workouts like 6 days a week. It was doing all that. I said I'm tired, but I'm nowhere as tired now as what I remember being in years past.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I feel like having a healthy workout routine is one thing that I've never really considered before. Like Pumpkin Smasher wears this heavy silicone mask, and usually the first night of each season, I'm dying, you know, like it's hard to deal with the heat, you know, it's almost like you can never drink enough water. It was rough. But this year it was different. It just was. You know, I'd been spending a lot of time, you know, dealing with exercise and doing that, all that kind of stuff. So I tell the story just to maybe help anybody who's a haunt actor out there, you know, really consider taking care of your body. You know, I'm not talking about getting chiseled or anything like that, but there's something about having a lifestyle that is in general pretty physical that will help you through the haunt season. And I do not feel like that's a bad bit of advice at all. So,
not at all. Like I say, and actually the wrestle whore concept that Jim and I have created and stuff, it kind of ties into one of the aspects of that, from where we always say wrestling and haunting is similar. And you've heard me say it many times, there's regular cardio and then there's wrestling cardio. It's completely different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we created the WrestleFit program at our training center. And, you know, I've encouraged haunters around the area to come do the WrestleFit program. It's, you know, it's strength training, fitness training, cardio training, and all that'll do is prep them. Just like you stated, you know, if you get in good shape, good ring shape, good haunt shape, whatever you want to call it, you will be able to last longer. You know, you'll be able to keep your endurance. You won't get that. You won't get sluggish, like you said. And I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying. I think getting yourself ready for the haunt season physically is very important.
Right. Because like from Friday night to the next shift Saturday, I used to just sleep. Like I didn't do anything. I was just in bed. You know, I'd get up maybe to eat and then go back to sleep. You know, like that was my Saturday mornings. It's not like that anymore. it's different. So, you know, that it's, I guess I just want to encourage people, like, there is a way that the haunt season doesn't necessarily have to hurt as much as maybe it does on muscles that are not used to doing some of these activities. And I say that from a standpoint of trying to help people who, you know, haunting is rough and it hurts and it's physical, but your body can be a bit more prepared for it. And, you know, going on my runs and doing the weightlifting and everything, there was a point where they even threatened that maybe I don't look like the Q Line character anymore. Maybe I lost too much weight. They threatened me with that at some point, but they let me they let me stay with it, and I was thankful for it. And I feel like I was able to handle the nights a lot more than what I was used to. So, if anything, that's what this year taught me, is that, you know, taking care of myself throughout the year pays off quite a bit in haunt season.
Yeah, we just look at it like any kind of sport. You know, any sports athlete, you know, they train, they exercise, they work on their diet, you know, they prepare themselves the best they can physically and mentally. You know, haunting is just as physical as a lot of sports. So why shouldn't haunters, you know, train and get in the best shape that they can for their athletic endeavor being haunting?
Right. And you know, it's not like I'm saying it as if this is some kind of major revelation. It's not. Take care of yourself, you'll do physically better. Absolutely. I mean, that's just obvious. However, I guess it didn't click with me until now, and it won't click with anybody else until you actually do it, I guess. I'm just telling you, it's been a world of difference. And I'm not trying to promote any particular program or anything. It's just in general, your body, you know, getting used to it. So that's my encouragement to everybody, you know, go do something, take care of yourself, because, you know, haunt season is rough. So we can prepare ourselves for it.
Absolutely.
Definitely very sage advice. I mean, you know, like Donnie mentioned, you know, there's cardio, there's wrestling cardio, and there's haunt cardio. And not the same as your regular cardio.
No.
You've got to be prepared to repeat your performance time after time, night after night, for 5 or 6 hours on end. It drains you. It really does. But if you're in shape, you can maintain better. You can last longer. And I don't know about you, but when I wear my silicone mask, I dump about a gallon of sweat out of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that did happen, but, you know, it wasn't the same, I guess. And like, you know, the stairs on the side of the schoolhouse to get up to where we get ready. I mean, at the beginning of the season, it was hot. At the beginning of our season, it was definitely hot. But I remember walking up those stairs and then immediately sweating. Well, I didn't this time. You know, my body is not afraid to sweat anymore. And, you know, I don't do things on the off season to avoid physically straining situations, or I'm not afraid of getting sweaty anymore. You know, so I've noticed my tolerance for heat has improved. I sweat definitely inside the silicone mask for sure, but I'm not huffing and puffing like I used to. Which I'm very thankful for it. And it makes me feel like I could, you know, that can make my performance much more intense. And I hope it has been more intense. I feel like I've swung the hammer more at people than I used to. I feel like I'm willing to chase people more than I'm used to. I feel like I'm willing to dive under the ropes and go after people more than I used to, because it used to be a thought of preservation. Oh my God, I got to make it to the end of the night. How am I going to do this? Instead, it's like, no, I can do this. And this came from me not waiting to run or lift weights until, you know, September.
Right.
There's a conditioning aspect to it. So I encourage everybody to do that. Haunt conditioning is, you know,
it's a real thing.
Yeah, it is a real thing, but, and it, I can't believe we're in November, you know, like I remember looking at the beginning of the season being like, man, there's like all these weekends. How am I going to get to it? And here we are.
Yep. Done. Yeah. Well, I'm going to steal Jim's gimmick here and we're going to switch gears here for a second. And, you know, we've had Max, the interviewer for Haunt Topic Radio and all that. We've had Max, the Tuesday night club member. We've had Pumpkin Smasher. We've had all this fantastic stuff of Max. Now I want to talk about Max, the sumo wrestler. I want to get into some of this because I am like 100% fascinated with it. I've watched all your sumo videos that you put on there. And I like it. I was like, man, I bet that would be fun. But I also catch myself when I watch it. I'm like, come on, hip toss or headlock, you know, something, you know, front choke. Like, yeah. You know, but I mean, what got you started on that? I'm just fascinated by it.
Look, I don't remember the initial conversation, but somehow the conversation led to the question of, and you may not understand it, how this is relevant, but the question was, is there such a thing as women's sumo? Like, you've never seen it, like, mm-hmm. in the movies or anything. Like, I mean, everybody's seen the sumo scene in Austin Powers with Fat Bastard and everything. So, like, yeah. You know, we've seen sumo, but nobody, as far as I know, has seen women's sumo. Nobody I know, at least.
I've never seen it.
So that caused me to do a Google search. And so it turns out women's sumo does exist. There was this big Russian lady who was just laying waste to everybody. And they kind of wear these whole, like, you know, wrestling singlet type suits, things. So then after watching that video, I was like, huh, who's the big name in sumo wrestling right now? So then you look it up and you do another Google search, and then you find out at the time his name was Hakuho, who is a Yokozuna. So when you two hear the name Yokozuna, you probably think back to the, Rikishi.
WWE, yeah.
Yeah. Yokozuna is actually a rank in sumo wrestling. It's the highest rank a sumo wrestler can attain. And once you get that rank, you never lose it. While you're an active wrestler, every other rank you go up and down and everything. But once you attain a Yokozuna rank, you are forever Yokozuna. I think there's been like 75 ish Yokozunas. So anyway, the point is that I start going down this rabbit hole. I learn about what a Yokozuna is. I learn about the other ranks of sumo wrestling. I learn about their bashos, the tournaments that are held every other month. So there's six tournaments in a year, always on an odd numbered month. The next one is actually about to start here in a few days. And then you learn about the stables that they come from and how, and the rules of sumo. And it's a rabbit hole, I'm telling you. Like, if you follow any of these sumo wrestling channels on YouTube, you just go down this rabbit hole. And I tell you what, I spent a week just watching videos, because you're kind of like learning about how all this works. And then maybe you find a sumo wrestler you like Hakuho, who is, as far as I know, the greatest of all time. He's won the most tournaments out of everybody. So you start watching some of his old matches. It's like going through a whole reel of like Michael Jordan's most famous matches, but it's Hakuho and sumo wrestling. So yeah, you go down that rabbit hole. And so I went down the rabbit hole. And the first tournament I watched was in January. Those tournaments happen at about 2 a.m. our time. I think it's like 2 or 4 a.m. our time. And I stayed up and watched those matches. Each tournament's 15 days, and each sumo wrestler has one match a day for 15 days straight. And best record wins the tournament. And so I stayed up and I watched those matches, and I was, you know, following certain wrestlers and everything. And I just became really fascinated with it. Then I searched sumo wrestling Ohio, found nothing. Sumo wrestling United States. There's a United States Sumo Wrestling Federation. Then I looked up Sumo Wrestling Cincinnati, and that's how I found my current club, because they're the guys that founded it, I think, are kind of based out of the Cincinnati area, and they've held tournaments in Cincinnati. And at the time I joined up with them, they were having practices down in Georgetown, Kentucky. So I went down there and I did some matches. I bought myself one of the belts that are called a Mawashi. Some people call them diapers because Fat Bastard called them that. We're not supposed to call them diapers. They're Mawashis. But I got me a Mawashi. I went to practices. I enjoyed it. And then they created another chapter in Centerville, Ohio. So I've been going to the Centerville dojo. It's a dojo for other martial arts, and I've been going there and practicing the sumo wrestling. So it's just been a lot of fun. And it was during a time where I was doing these workouts and everything and getting more physical in my life. So I felt like I was in pretty good shape, and I was learning about the sport and learning about the techniques. And I wrestled in high school. So, you know, there's a few under overarm, you know, locks and stuff like that, that felt natural to me. And it's just been a lot of fun learning about this sport. The guys that do it, they're so cool. They love to teach. You know, shout out to Jake and to Ben, who teach me a lot of the techniques. a big shout out to Simeon, who recently picked me up by my Mawashi and just walked me out of the ring. In sumo wrestling, you lose either by touching the ground with something other than the bottom of your foot, or you get pushed out of the ring. This dude just picks me up by my Mawashi and walks me out like I'm a baby out of the ring. It's been a lot of fun. I don't know what my goals are with it, except right now to just kind of embrace it and learn about it and watch the tournaments as they happen. And me doing it, I thought, would help me get a greater appreciation for what I see on TV. And it does. There are tournaments in Texas a lot. There's national tournaments. I'd love to go to a tournament one day. You know, I thought I would just run rampant on this sport, but I found out, you know, quickly that there are those that are definitely way better than me. I'd like to do well in one of those tournaments one day. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah. Like I said, I've watched your videos. I've seen you get some wins and some losses and everything, but you know, either way, it looks like you're having a blast. So kudos to you. But you know, like I said, I was just fascinated with it. Like I would never imagine, you know, Maximus being a sumo wrestler until I saw it. And I was just like, oh, but damn, look at this.
Yeah. It just came from that one conversation, then led me down this whole rabbit hole. That's the thing. When I tell people that I sumo wrestle, that they're like, how? Why? How does this happen? There's sumo wrestling around here? You know, like some people participated in those things where you put on the suits and you and the hats and you kind of go at it. But like people who are actually learning the sport and doing it, it's still pretty far and spread out. You know, there's the club in based in Cincinnati that does things in Georgetown and South Dayton. The next closest club, I feel like, is in Atlanta. And then there's like two clubs in Texas and maybe one in St. Louis, I think. Yeah, they're spread out, but there seems to be a real, at least amongst the subculture that does it, there seems to be quite an enthusiasm about it, and they're recruiting, and our club holds open practice events. Like, it's an event that's just free. People get to come and check it out, you know, go up against me if they want and try it out, see if they like it, and some people stick around. Some people are like, no, not for me, but it's been a lot of fun. I haven't done it during haunt season because, let me tell you, like, I don't know if either of you played football, but you've run up against people, you know, and I've done high school wrestling and I've run up against people. None of that hurt as much as how I hurt after a sumo wrestling practice. It hurts. Your collarbone's all in pain because they're sometimes hitting you in the collarbone. Sometimes they hit you in the face. You're not allowed to close fist punch or kick, but you know, open hand slaps are allowed, and you're running up against people. My whole body hurts. It just hurts. But it's like a good hurt. It's one of those hurts that let you know, yeah, you know, I did something the day before.
You got something accomplished.
Yeah. But it's like different than a weightlifting hurt. It's been a lot of fun, and it's a lot of fun to learn. And I'm fascinated with Japanese culture in general. So this has kind of been like a fun way to learn something. And the sport is very ritualistic, and it's actually kind of made me think about in Haunting, how can Haunting be a little bit more ritualistic, or like, you know, how can my actors, I shouldn't say my actors, they're not mine, but how can my fellow actors and myself maybe have some kind of ritual that kind of makes us be more mindful about what we're doing, and maybe even get us more hyped up to get into it. You can pull something like that from anything, but sumo's got me thinking about that. So yeah, I wear the mawashi and I sumo wrestle, and it's a lot of fun.
Jim, I'm going to buy your mawashi, and we're going to get you out there and get you in the mix.
Jim, do you have you're going to buy him one.
Oh yeah, I'm going to buy it for him.
Yes. Love to see Jim in the mawashi.
I don't think Jim wants to see himself in the mawashi.
I do wear spandex shorts underneath, so mm-hmm. if you're worried about that, but traditionally you're not supposed to, but
I'm not worried about that part. I mean, I just embarrass you guys if
yeah, I believe it.
I tell you, this has been an amazing conversation. I have to ask you something, Max, since we're winding down here. I know you've been on the show twice before. Did we ever ask you the question?
My memory is leaving me.
Yeah, I don't think we did, so we're going to have to.
All right, so Donnie, you got to ask him a question.
All right, like I said, I'm sure you've probably heard us ask other people of this. It's a question we ask everybody, no right or wrong answer. We just like to get inside of the minds of our guest, and you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
My go-to kill as the main serial killer in my own film.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I bet that's one of those things you got to go off of the top of your head with. I think it's the drowning.
All right, yeah. I don't think we've had drowning yet.
I don't know. Like those scenes get me the most. Like even when it was Jason X and he put her face inside the stuff that froze her face, it was still essentially like a drowning. And I saw recently, Would You Rather, and, there was a point where they were forced to go stick their head in water for a certain amount of time. One girl didn't make it. And then there was something else. And I just saw a clip. This combines it all. I've never seen Santa Slay before with Bill Goldberg as the serial killer Santa. Well, the opening scene, you know, there was one where he just shoved somebody's face inside the eggnog or something. And I'm like, you know what? That's just kind of a boss move where you just completely overpower someone and stick their face inside of something.
A bowl of liquid.
A bowl of liquid. But it's also really impactful. You know, there was even that scene in The Outsiders where that happened.
The fountain.
Yeah. So there's and it's not fast. Like a stabbing or anything, and it's not slow. Well, it is slow actually, and that's kind of the weird thing. Like panic sets in, the loss of breath, I think, is one of the scariest ways to go. So I think, you know, if I was a serial killer, that'd be my way to go.
There you go.
Sounds like I put in more thought into that than I actually have.
Well, you know, once again, we have not had a repeat answer. We've been doing this probably since just after the last time we talked. So yeah, that's, you know, kudos to you, man. I mean, always a different and a unique kill. And that's what we like to hear from people, because then we realize how twisted people really are.
Yeah. You know, if you, I don't know if you've been doing it for that long and you haven't had a repeat answer, that's, you know, how messed up are we?
You know, so, you know, even some of the wrestlers have some messed up answers. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry if I disappointed and not say something like shove pumpkin guts in their mouth until they suffocate or something.
Oh, no, no, no. That's it's like you said, it's off the top of your head and everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And yeah, a lot of them are not a lot of them, but some of them are even supernatural-esque, like they could never really happen.
Right.
And that much, yeah, that's just their creativity. Like my favorite one still is one of the guests said that they would throw somebody off the top of a building and then they would run down the stairs and get to the bottom. And before the person hit the ground, they would run them over with a truck. And I was like, you'd have to be damn fast.
Yeah, it's not possible, but you know, right. I mean, if that's what's in your head, wow.
Right.
That's great.
But, yeah, they're looking at the clock on the wall. We got to wrap this up. Max, how can people find out more about you, about your sumo and all that other good stuff you do with Haunting? What's the best way for people to find out about you?
Well, I'll just say, if you want to friend request me on Facebook, Maximus Christian Bryant, find me, friend request me. My sumo club is Ohio Sumo Association. Ohio is like the Japanese greeting, good morning, Ohio, O-H-A-Y-O. Find more about the Dent Schoolhouse at www.frightsight.com. I don't think this will be released in time for the Lights Out tour, but the Dent Schoolhouse in the second weekend in December is going to have their Christmas Nightmare show. Still scary, but with a holiday festive Christmas theme to it. Come check it out. Find the Ohio Haunters Association on Facebook. Join that group. I'm posting on there or sharing stuff there. It's a great way to promote Halloween stuff related. And follow the Haunted Attractions Network and Haunt Topic Radio. Some of my interviews end up on there. So, or just find me on Facebook and friend request. And I really appreciate you guys having me on. Russell Horror is an amazing thing. And there's a ton of crossover between those two realms. And, I love that you guys have brought me on for the third time. It makes me feel really privileged.
Oh, absolutely. We love having you on.
Definitely. We appreciate you. Keep good luck with everything. Good luck on your sumo and whatever haunt ventures you're doing, your interviews, things like that. For myself, Meat Hook Jim, my co-host Donnie Hoover, and our special guest for the third time, Maximus Christian Bryant, this is the Wrestle Horror Podcast. We will catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.